There is nothing worse than untapped potential. If you know that you're made for more, this is the place. I know that every successful person I've ever met has one thing in common. They do not let themselves fall victim to their circumstances. They figure out a way to rise above it. So join me on this journey where I help you to be better, do better, and have better in life and in business. If you're feeling stuck and you're needing some practical tools, some hope to get you to that better life, this is definitely the place for you. Everyone, welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I'm your host, Lachelle Weemy, and it is my pleasure to introduce you guys to David Price. He is a certified life coach, and I am so stinking excited for us to be able to learn from you, David, and your experience and the things that you allow for us to know that we're not alone when we're feeling stuck in life or in business. And your story is really inspirational. So thanks for joining us today.
Lachelle, thank you so much for having me. It's awesome to connect with another believer, with a business person. And I could just tell when we talked before that we're so aligned in our energy and the things we believe and want to do. So I'm just excited to be here.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Me too. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I absolutely love to do is connect with other people who are wanting to utilize our businesses to grow the kingdom, right? Like, we think that sometimes we can get into this box in our life where we're thinking that this is how it's supposed to go. And I think that one of the things that God did in my journey early on in my entrepreneurial space was to remind me that people are going to come into my life because of my business, and because of my business, they're going to know him. And so, because they know me. And so I think that it's just really cool what you're doing. And I'm looking forward to hearing a little bit more about who it is that you serve. Like, what do you do to expand this amazing blessings and impact in the world?
Sure. So I, as a certified professional life coach, I have two programs that I do right now. And one is for men and women who are stuck. That's the big word, right? And that's the word that so often we use when we just can't figure out kind of what's going on. We just say, well, I just feel stuck, right? And so I've got a program for men and women who are stuck. Either they don't know what they want to do, or they know, but they got no clue how to get there. And so we help them figure all that stuff out. That's one program. And then I have another program that's specifically for husbands and or fathers who want to stop taking out their frustration on their wives and kids. And the reason that I love so much what I do is because I was everything I just described. Well, I wasn't a woman who was stuck, but I was a person who was definitely stuck. And didn't know what to do, didn't know how to proceed. I've been an angry husband and father. And so I just love helping people get out of where I was into where I am now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that is so powerful when we hear each other's stories, because I think that sometimes we can get in our own way and really start to compare our journeys to what we think other people's journeys look like, right? And so I would love for you to, if you're willing, kind of take us down that path of your own stuck journey so that we can relate to you and your story and know that we're not alone. And then I would love for us to dive into what the heck you did to get yourself out of that space. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit more about yourself and your journey?
Well, it's messy and ugly, Lachelle. Are you sure you want to hear it? I mean, I don't know. It might be a little messy, but so when I was 7 years old, my father passed away. He was 44, and which is, when I was young, I thought that was old. Now that I'm 55, I realize how young that was. But I am an only child. So that left my mother and myself, and that really devastated me. Losing my father was a crushing blow to me. And what I allowed to happen was for that to be my excuse for never getting anything right. And so I was mediocre at everything, or a failure at everything. I just couldn't get anything right. I didn't try. My goal in life was to do as little as possible to get by. I stayed in bed as long as I could. I didn't try hard at anything. And it was a miserable life. I got to about 100 pounds overweight. I hated myself. I hated my life. And even though I had a lot of amazing things, a wife and kids and a mother who loved me, a great job, I just hated myself and I hated my life and I was miserable. And so I went on that way for about 3 decades. And finally, it got unbearable and I just couldn't stand it any longer. I reached out to a friend of mine who was much farther along in his journey than I was. And I said, do you have a book that I could read? Because I love to read. I said, do you have a book I could read? He immediately said, The University of Success by Og Mandino. Lachelle, I started reading that book. By the second chapter, I was a brand new man. It completely transformed my life. That book led to more books, coaches, podcasts, et cetera. And I just kept increasing in abundance and joy and fulfillment. I was getting happier and just my life was getting better. My family was getting better because I was getting better. And I just love personal growth. And so after a while, my family got tired of hearing me talk about it. And so I thought, why don't I get certified as a coach? I can help a lot of other people. And that's what I've been doing for about the past 6 years.
I mean, one of the things that I found in talking to people and reading and listening to podcasts, I'm a personal development nerd. You guys can tell by, you know, my books behind me.
Yes.
And the thing that I've noticed that has a solid theme in every single one of those experiences is that success is really just this decision of not allowing ourselves to stay victims to our circumstances. It's a decision to rise above. And I think that, you know, it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you allowed for the death of your father to become your identity, and the victimhood that became part of who you are became your identity. Does that sound like I'm on hitting the nail on the head there?
That's exactly what happened, Lachelle. I viewed myself as the kid or the man who lost his father, whose dad died. And that was the defining moment of my life. I mean, I was stuck as the 7-year-old kid who lost his dad. And my view was that anybody who loses their dad like that doesn't have a chance. And so I really felt like that I was incapable of improving, growing, changing. I really felt like, Lachelle, when I would see other people who were happy or successful, that they got something I did not get. And therefore, I was out of luck forever. I didn't think I had a choice. And so, yeah, you're exactly right. That was my identity.
Well, and I think like the thing that I've noticed too, when we take on that identity of being a victim to something, right? And we allow it to allow ourselves to blame our circumstances on something, and then therefore every other circumstance that follows that on something, allows for us to, I believe, remain powerless. And that's what kind of the thing that you're describing is that it was almost like your circumstances had power over you, and it didn't allow for you to have the hope and the encouragement that you need for this.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Lachelle. I felt like that I had no power over my life, no control over my life. And that's what was so amazing and such a life-changing moment in reading this amazing book that I read. It taught me that I had the ability to take control of my life and make changes, which I had never felt like I had. That was the defining moment. And that's why in the programs I have, that's why that's what we start with is taking 100% responsibility for your life and everything in it. Because until a person is willing to do that, there is no possibility for change.
Absolutely. And I think that you just described perfectly the exact same thing that I've been saying for a really long time. I feel like God gives us all a superpower. Every single one of us have a superpower. And I believe that that is our free will. We get to choose again each single moment, every single day. And I think that oftentimes when we get stuck, we can feel like we don't have any choices, that we don't have any ability to take that new ownership and new power over our lives. And I think that it's just that realization that we do have that. And I would love to hear a little bit more about what was it in the book that finally turned that switch for you? Because it sounds like it was a pretty significant change in your ability to look at the way that you see the world.
It was a 180 for sure, Lachelle. I still remember, I still get chills thinking about that moment and the way it shifted my entire mindset. I don't remember, to be honest with you, exactly what it was, what the book said, or I don't remember exactly what it was specifically about the book. I just remember having this light bulb moment where I realized that I had everything I needed within myself. I'm made in the image of God. I love what you said about what God gives us. We're made in the image of God. God is creative. God is powerful. And so if we're made in his image, we have this power of creativity ourselves. obviously not to that degree, but we're made in his image and we can exercise our power, our control, our creativity. We have everything that we need to make these amazing changes. And when I realized that, it was just a life changer for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that like, it's kind of when you realize that the good thing and the bad thing, right? The bad thing is up to you. The good thing is it's up to you, right? Absolutely. Like, oh my gosh, you know, yes. I have to figure this out. I have to start improving myself. And that's where you went on your growth, you know, journey. And I think that that can be a lot for some of us, like, oh my gosh, this is on me. But you also can recognize like, oh my gosh, this is on me. Like I get, choose again, I get to figure this out. And it sounds like, you know, that really was a life changer for you.
It totally was. And I really appreciate what you're saying, because I think it's definitely a temptation when you say to someone, okay, you've got to take 100% responsibility for your life and everything in it. That's scary for one thing. And a lot of people can get into guilt because of that. So, and one thing that I talk about a lot is we don't talk about blame. I don't use the word blame. I don't blame anybody. I don't blame myself. Blame is irrelevant. Who's to blame is the most useless question in the world. The only question that matters is what do we do with where we are right now? That's taking responsibility. So yeah, it's a little bit frightening, but I'll tell you, Lachelle, and I know that you would agree, I would much rather have some agency, some ability to affect the direction of my life than to be at the mercy of everything around me. That is a miserable place to be. Let me have some control and make some decisions and take some actions that are going to change my life rather than being a perpetual victim. I'm much happier this way.
I mean, we're not responsible for what happened to us.
No. Right?
Responsible for what happened with your dad. You're not responsible. You know, I've talked to so many people, so many clients that have had really crappy things happen to them. But what we are responsible for is what we do with that, right? And I think that that's what you're saying. And I want to just take this moment, you guys, to acknowledge that legit, like wherever you're feeling stuck right now, and it doesn't matter if it's in your life, if it's in your business, if you're not where you want to be, the first thing that you can do, the most powerful thing that you can do is to choose to rise above it. Yes. And I think that that one decision is going to allow for you then to be open to solutions and open to execution of things and open to the hope. Even if you're feeling pretty hopeless in your situation right now, it allows you to have faith that there is better in store as long as you're looking for it. And I don't want to diminish this because it's so powerful. That decision is literally what's going to change your life.
It is that idea of decision. One of the things I learned from one of my coaches, and I've had many coaches, Lachelle, as I'm sure you have as well. And I've had many of them. And David Bayer was one of the most influential coaches I ever have. And he's taught me about the power of decision. That's where it all begins. And we all have that power. And one of the most powerful things I ever learned was that right now you have the power to become an entirely different person. If you're a smoker, you have the power right now to decide, I am not a smoker. I am a non-smoker, and become that right at this moment. Absolutely. You can become that, right? You can become a healthy eater. You can become an exerciser, right? We put these labels on ourselves and, you know, we say, I'm a loser. I'm a failure. I'm not a business person. I'm not a whatever. And when we put these labels on ourselves, you have the ability right now to make a decision and to become that person you want to be at this moment, because you are whatever you decide to be and whatever you start acting as. And yes, we can all do that right now.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know, we haven't had a chance to talk a whole lot outside of this space, but like I can nerd out about this. In fact, I wrote about it in my book, how God has actually given us this amazing brain that allows us to create a life that is what we want instead of what we're living. We use things that to our advantage, like mirror neurons inside of our brains that cannot tell the difference between what we imagine and what is actually real or a memory. And we can trick ourselves and our brains to acting as if we're already there. And just like you're saying, like when we can step into that, we can allow ourselves to make the tiniest little decisions each and every day that are consistent with that. But you're right, it all comes down to our identity. And who we think we are is one of the most influential things to create sustainable change. So if I think that I'm a late person, I am going to consistently show up late, and my outside world has to match my inside world. So my subconscious is constantly looking for validation to acknowledge the identity that is created for me. So if I consistently show up late, I'm literally just feeding that beast and that identity. But if I can start to decide the image that I want, decide the identity, and act as if I'm there, then my outside world and my inside world start to match in a different way.
Absolutely. And there are so many tools, Lichelle, and I know that you know all of them and probably 100 that I don't know. There are so many tools to actually become the person that you want to be, whether it's affirmations, if it's, you know, just the way with our physiology, Lichelle, you know, that if we stand up tall, if we sit up straighter, put our shoulders back, put a smile on our face. Right now, I've got chills just doing that and talking about that, because you can change your thinking by so many of these really powerful tools that we have at our disposal. And so people just have to realize, and I hope that they're getting some hope from our conversation. I don't care how stuck you are or what you're stuck in. The tools, the information, the help and support, it is available. You can be a different person than you are right now. The tools and the information are out there. Just get out there and start learning, get a coach, get a mentor, whatever you need to do, but do not be hopeless. The help is there.
I think, like, you know, the Unstuck podcast is really just providing hope and practical solutions. Yes. I think that, David, when we've talked in the past, and you've already alluded to this a little bit, that it wasn't that long ago that you were really stuck and you were not the husband that you wanted to be. You were not the father. Describe a little bit about your mental state in those days of what you felt like and kind of how, you know, you showed up in the world, because I want people to be able to understand the massive difference. That man that you've told me about is so different from the man you are today, and that there's hope, you guys, that all of us can have the same transformation. So David, describe a little bit about what your days were like back then.
Well, I always hesitate to use the word depressed, Lichelle. I know that's kind of a loaded term. I don't believe that I was clinically depressed, but I just had a really tremendous sadness. I was down. I lived in dread. I was angry and frustrated, very short-tempered. If my kids did something, you know, even minor, a lot of times I would just lose it. I would yell and call them names, be sarcastic, insulting. With my wife, we would get into an argument. The only thing I cared about was winning an argument. I would do whatever it took to win an argument, use my words against her. And if I wasn't winning, I would just shut down and stop talking for an hour or a day or a couple of days at a time. And so you can imagine, Lichelle, that at home, things were very tense and things could be very, very difficult for my family. I remember one time I had my kids at the park because, you know, I didn't do everything wrong. I took my kids to the park one day when they were little, and one of my kids locked my keys in the car. That's not a big deal. Who cares? But I remember just completely losing it on my children there in the parking lot in public, on my kids, for locking my keys in the car. I mean, just lost grip on them. And that's the kind of thing that could regularly happen in my home. That's the way that I was treating my family. Fast forward to after learning a lot of the things that I have, several instances I could give, but I'm a minister, and I loaded my family in the car one day to go preach for a week in a different state. And so we loaded up, we started driving, and I realized too far into the trip to go back, I had forgotten all of my dress clothes. Well, in the churches that I'm in, that's a big deal. You don't preach if you're not in dress clothes. And so I looked back and I said, I forgot my dress clothes. My kids told me later that they froze and they thought, what's dad gonna do? Is dad gonna lose it because he forgot his dress clothes? But I laughed and I went, oh, well, now I get to buy all new clothes. And I turned around and we had a great trip. And my kids talk about that as being a moment where they realized that dad was different now. Dad wasn't going to lose it anymore. Dad wasn't going to yell and scream and throw things anymore. And that's the kind of change, Lachelle, that I'm talking about. This is what I've been able to accomplish. All credit to God and to my friend for helping me do it. I'm not taking credit for it, but it happened because I made the decision to start doing it.
I love that decision and acknowledging that this isn't what you wanted anymore and making the next step to make that happen. And I'm guessing that this change, you know, was a, it sounded like it was an abrupt awareness, but I'm guessing it was a gradual change as you executed the various things in your life to where you are now.
It definitely was a gradual change. It was a long process because all of these things that I was learning, Lachelle, and you know, there's a ton of personal growth knowledge and tools out there. I didn't know any of that stuff. I mean, I knew none of those things. And so it was definitely a process and I was growing and getting better. I know that there was a time in there where my family was skeptical, you know, dad's reading the books and he's watching the videos, but we'll see if this really, makes a difference. I was throwing out the cliches, you know, Lachelle, all the cliches that we use. And I'm sure that my family was kind of sitting back, kind of side-eye thinking, well, we'll see. But eventually they knew that it was real and they knew that the change had happened. And I'm just so very grateful for them, for that, you know, for them being able to see that before it was too late.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So what I would love to do next is I'd like to talk to you about some practical tools that you have executed. You've mentioned a couple of them already, but would love to give the audience a couple of things that they might be able to take away from our conversation today. And then I'd like to really dive into your decision to become a coach and an entrepreneur and what that journey has looked like for you. Cause I think that sometimes it's good for us to hear some of the real stories, the behind the scenes and advice that you give people who are feeling this nudge to follow their heart into the entrepreneurial space. So why don't you share a couple of tools that our audience could consider or read more about or talk to you about after this show to start getting them in the direction of their dreams?
Sure, I would love to. So I'll just give the very high level view of a couple of things. So my programs are all based on what I call the four pillars of personal success. This is exactly what I did to change my life. It's what I teach. So just a couple of things. The first pillar is taking responsibility. The first thing that we have our clients do is answer four questions. And those questions are, who am I blaming? What are my excuses? What am I complaining about? And what am I waiting on? And so what this does is help people to really get in touch with whether or not they're taking responsibility. Most people are not, at least not taking full responsibility. And so that, to me, Lachelle, those questions help them really discover the degree to which they need to take ownership and stop putting the responsibility on life around them.
On things outside of your own control, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's a really big process. Another thing that we teach in our second pillar is trying to kind of really pick a good one. But I think magic questions is really powerful, Lachelle. And you've touched on this already with how the brain works. But I learned this from one of my coaches and my friend, Bart Baggett, who has a fantastic book called The Magic Question. His name is Bart Baggett. And what this book teaches is that we normally ask ourselves really bad questions like, why am I such a loser? Why am I so fat? Why can't I ever get anything right? What the brain does is go out and find answers to those questions. And so as you said, Lachelle, all we're doing is reinforcing that mentality of being a failure. And so what he teaches is to ask empowering questions, questions like, how can I quickly and easily lose 20 pounds this month or whatever? And so what that does is put the brain on alert to going out in the world and finding answers and resources to help us succeed rather than help us fail. That's a really powerful exercise.
The how versus the why.
I'm sorry, Lachelle.
The how versus the why. Like how.
Exactly. And so that tool alone activates what's called the reticular activating system of the brain, and it brings in all sorts of amazing resources and people. And so then in our third pillar, we teach people to write out a description filled with sensory experience, emotional experience, specific experience their ideal life. What do you want your ideal life to look like? And then read that description every single morning with emotion, out loud, with visualization, so that you're training yourself to be ready to receive and create that life.
Yeah. You know, I actually do the same thing for my clients, and I have them record it on their phone on voice memo and then listen to it every single day doing that same thing. And it's powerful.
It is very powerful. And I love what you said, because the second most powerful voice you'll ever hear is your own. The first is God's. But then the final thing that we do, the final pillar is goal setting. And so I teach people, and we kind of go through a process of how to choose it, but we teach people to choose one goal initially, because 10 goals is too much, but pick one goal, pick the one thing that if you accomplished it would have the biggest impact on all other parts of your life. And then we teach them how to create and write a good goal, you know, specific, measurable, all that stuff. And so write that goal, read it every morning, and then create an action plan and get started on it today. Yes. And so those are just some of the tools that we teach that I think are really practical and powerful.
Yeah, and I love that, because you're tying all the things, like you and I could talk all day long. Like I just am in so alignment. And I think that it's reinforcing to me that what God has given us is tools to get us unstuck and to follow his plan for us are available to us. And the fact that we utilize the same tools is just that much more reinforcement. I mean, I've talked about actually all of the things that you've mentioned in my book, because it's that powerful, you guys. And so I love, love, love what you're saying. And I think too, that when we tie it back to the first pillar that you mentioned, when you start to execute those goals and you start writing out what you need to do to accomplish it, you can start to recognize the bold moves that need to be taken and figuring out like, okay, well, what lies am I believing that are preventing me from taking those bold moves, right? What identity have I had in the past that are preventing me from taking this bold move? What are the fears that I've allowed the enemy to place into my heart that are preventing me from taking these bold moves, right?
Absolutely. And this is why, Lachelle, that taking some quiet time, giving yourself plenty of time when you do these sorts of exercises that you and I teach, it really allows you to get very mindful. You know, if we're just quickly writing things down or typing it into a computer and then rushing on to the next thing, but really taking the time to work through the sorts of exercises that you and I teach, taking your time with it, being thoughtful about it, being mindful about it, maybe put on some relaxing music, you know, sitting out on the back porch or however you can get into a good space of mindfulness, but allowing yourself to really think about these kinds of things and those limiting beliefs and negative self-talk, that stuff's going to start coming up and you can start to hear it. I think a lot of times, Lachelle, that stuff plays in the background. And we never really know that it's playing because we're always watching TV, listening to music, scrolling through Facebook or whatever, instead of giving ourselves that time to be really mindful and quiet and to notice that stuff start to rise up.
Absolutely. And you guys, I think too that like the closer you get to discovering and living out your purpose that God has for your life. And I want to remind all of you guys that he has a big, beautiful plan for you. And sometimes we can get in his way and get in our own way because we allow fear and confusion and the enemy to really win. And I think that there are a couple things that happen, at least in my experience. One of them is resistance, right? So when you're talking about actually diving in and doing the work, and taking it seriously and giving yourself that quiet time to really reflect and to work through this stuff, resistance will come in and we'll make up excuses or we'll say, oh, I'll do this tomorrow, or perfectionism will come in, or we'll allow ourselves to believe a lie that this isn't going to matter anyway, right? That is the enemy, you guys, keeping you from stepping into this big, beautiful life that he has for you. And so when you allow for that resistance and those excuses to come in, you're letting the enemy win. And let's not do that anymore, right? Like, let's say, okay. And then I think that sometimes we're just afraid. We're afraid to discover what we don't want to have to face. But it's when we know it is when we can deal with it. I think that oftentimes we allow ourselves to stay in this wishy-washy middle that is really exhausting, because we're constantly working out the what ifs and we're catastrophizing everything and we're allowing fear to get in our way. When we just make the freaking decision, then we can kick into solution mode and start to get into action instead of wasting our time and energy. I call it swimming in the pudding pool, right? Where you're not really going anywhere and it's exhausting. And I think that it's literally just a matter of getting over ourselves and getting out of our own way and taking the time to dive into it, to discover the parts about ourselves that we need to face and to allow for those resistance to be able to be dispersed so that we can start to step into our beautiful big life that he has for us.
No question. And first of all, Lachelle, I have to say that I love the image of the pudding pool, although what that would do to my hair, I don't want to begin to think about. So we won't pursue that any farther. But you know, Lachelle, I'm not sure that most people, I think at least initially, most people need help. They need a real living, breathing person who's at least a step ahead on the journey to help them out. I'm not sure that anybody, I'll say this way. I did not know what I did not know. And I did not know how to move forward if it had not been for my friend, who continues to be the biggest influence in my positive thinking. If I had not allowed him to come into my life and help, I would still be where I was or worse. And I just think, Lachelle, that allowing someone to help, reaching out to a mentor, a minister, a coach, and asking those questions and allowing them to give answers, I'm just not sure that most people can do it, at least initially, without someone there to help. I'd love to know what you think about that.
100%. I mean, I when I wrote my book, I have a lot of working through parts in it so that you can apply the things that I'm teaching, right? I even went as far as to creating a free worksheet or workbook study guide on my website so that people didn't have any excuses. Like, let's just like get you into action. But the reality is just like you said, oftentimes, even though we're given the tools for us to actually sit down and do them, I mean, legit, like if I were to apply every single thing that I have read in all of these books, not to mention the podcast and the conversation I've had in the last 3 years in this podcast series, if I'd applied everything that I've learned, I would be, who knows where, right? But we get in our own way constantly. And I think that it's one of the things that I have found so helpful, like you said, is to having some form of accountability, somebody to answer to when I don't feel like it, or I'm too scared, or I don't, you know, whatever. And that's why I think, you know, studying things in a group or hiring a coach, where this is the one thing that, I mean, for real, like aside from the accountability from the coaching space, because if I have to answer to somebody else more than just myself, then I'm going to get further. But I also think that when you start to recognize that when you're investing money into paying someone to hold you accountable and paying someone to help you with where you get stuck, like how foolish am I to not utilize the advice that I'm paying them for, right? And so it allows me to push myself. And I, one of the most instrumental experiences that I've had is when one of my coaches, you know, was encouraged me to charge a certain price point for my program, for my 1 day Unstuck program. And I was like, I can't charge that. And then I said to my husband, I'm like, you know, this is what she wants me to charge. And he's like, you can't charge that. And he had a worse money mindset than I did at the time. And it's like, what the heck am I asking him for? And then I realized, like, I'm paying her for her advice. She sees things in me I can't see. And I need to lean into that. And now, I mean, I've blown past that and I'm blown past that block, but I wouldn't have been able to if I hadn't had somebody outside of myself that pushes me. And so I think it's so important that we acknowledge to utilize the tools outside of ourselves that we can.
And it's so important. And Lachelle, I'm sure that people look at people like you and I, we do this for a living. We get paid to do it and think, well, of course they're going to tell me to spend money. They want me to, you know, purchase their program or whatever. But I can honestly say, Lachelle, from a genuine heartfelt standpoint, I mean this thoroughly, the best decisions I have ever made have been spending money on coaches and programs. And I've spent over the years, I've spent over $40,000 of my own money for coaching for myself and for my business. And I share that because to anybody, that's a lot of money. And I want people to know that I'm not just asking them to spend it. I'm spending it. You're spending it, right? 100%. And so you do not get out of anything what you're going to get if you invest your hard earned money in it. And so, you know, I had a lot of heartburn around this. I was very reluctant to spend money initially. Start with purchasing a book. Stop getting books from the library. Go buy a book and then go buy a low price $300 program and then spend $1,000 on something. You don't have to jump in with a $50,000 mastermind, but spend a little bit and get used to spending money, because if nothing else, Lachelle, what that does is send a message to your brain that you have finally gotten serious about getting your life in order. When you're spending money on it, your brain knows that you're serious. That is going to put you into overdrive.
I mean, God tells us that where we spend our money and our time is where our heart is.
100%.
We oftentimes don't want to invest in coaching because we are afraid to invest in ourselves. And that means that, like, oh gosh, like I'm betting on myself, right? But here's the deal. Like, when you pay, you pay attention.
Yes.
I cannot provide the transformation if somebody is not willing to do the work. And people often aren't willing to do the work unless they're skin in the game. And so I have learned that the best way for me to serve someone is to actually charge for my services, because it makes them take this seriously. And when they take it seriously, they do the things that I suggest. And it's not like just reading the book and never opening it again, or never taking out the pen to work the things, right? And I love this. And this is a thing that I find a lot within our Christian community, is this fear around charging and this money mindset around, you know, we should just be giving away what we're doing. And I believe that that is a block in our ability to serve, because it's making it about me instead of them. It's my fear around it versus me serving them. And if I want to serve people, I need to get out of my own stinking way, right?
No question. And you're right, Lachelle. What you said is so powerful about the Christian mindset, that charging money for this kind of thing. You know, no one faults a Christian plumber for charging. No one faults a Christian mechanic. My mechanic is a Christian. I don't go in there and say, well, I'm a Christian, you're a Christian, you should give me, you know, car care for free. Nobody does that. But we do it with coaching, consulting, that kind of thing a lot of times. And I will tell you, for those who are maybe sort of getting into the entrepreneurial space, particularly with coaching and consulting, it's a good business decision to charge more, because if you don't, you are going to get a lot of people who don't take it seriously. Your program is not going to work for them. They're going to go out and tell people how your program doesn't work. Well, it's not that your program doesn't work. It's that you gave it away to anybody and everybody. It didn't work for the people who weren't serious. And now you look bad because they didn't take it seriously. And I'm not downing clients by any means. I mean, people are people, they do what they do. But my point is that it's just a great business decision to charge for what you do.
100%. What else would you say has been instrumental for you in this entrepreneurial journey? Because I mean, I have been, you know, on the executive board of our church for years, and I know how easy it is for pastors and ministers to burn out. And I just think that it's just really cool that you leaned into this calling that God has placed on your heart and you went for it. And so I would love to just kind of hear a little bit about what advice you would have for somebody who's wondering if they should follow this little nudge in their heart.
Yeah, don't do it. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. So no, absolutely do it. And you know, the way I started doing it was just to put your toe in it and just start doing a little bit. You know, if you want to be coaching, I know coaching. So if you want to be a coach, start coaching people. You know, do it for free, or do it for a little bit of money. Do it on the side. Do it on the weekends. Do it informally, right? When you're hanging out with your friends, give them some coaching when they don't know that you're coaching them, right? And so eventually you'll become known as the person that, you know, that helps people figure things out. But the first thing that I would say would be is that don't worry about, I don't have a logo, I don't have a website. When I started coaching, I had literally, Lachelle, I had nothing. I had no program. I had no business name, no business license. I don't, maybe that's not legal. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but I didn't have any of that stuff. Yeah. I didn't have anything, but I just started putting it out there and I started coaching people. So lean into it. Don't worry about what you don't have. Start using what you do have. And what you're going to find is that all on its own, it's going to start building and growing, and you're going to be able to put some other things together and put more things out there. So that would be my first thing, is just do it. Just start doing it. Wherever you are, just start right now, today, as soon as this podcast is over. Yeah. Second thing that I would say is that it is much harder than I thought it was going to be. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure that I would have done it if I would have known that it would take this long and be this hard. It's however hard you think it's going to be, it's going to be 10 times harder. However long you think it's going to take, it's going to take 10 times longer. So just know, just be ready for that. Just know that. I had a gentleman call me up one time who was just starting his coaching business. And he said, you want some advice? I said, okay. So he starts telling me his plan, and he says, he's going to do this and that. And then he says, and in 3 months, I plan to have 100 clients. And I was like,
okay,
time out, bro. Yeah. Time out. That ain't happening. If it does happen, I'm going to join your program because I need to know. But that's what we do, isn't it, Lachelle? We think that it's going to just take off and be magical. And it just is just not. It's not. So buckle in, because it's going to be harder than you think. You're going to make 100 times more mistakes than you think. And it's going to take longer. Just be ready. And I think that being ready maybe is sort of helpful.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it keeps us from judging ourselves. We can stay in the gap a lot, comparing ourselves from where we are to where we want to be, instead of recognizing the gain. And I think that oftentimes people think that you have to have it all figured out before you start. And it's really is in the motion that allows the clarity to happen, because you start to recognize, like, oh, I'm really good at this. Oh, that's not my skill set. Oh, I don't like this, but I love this. And you really don't have a way to get there unless you put yourself into action. And it's okay, because it's a giant experiment. There is no failing and succeeding in business. It's literally just, okay, what will I try next? What works? What doesn't? What lit me up? What doesn't? Recognizing also, don't you think that we oftentimes have this unrealistic expectation that everything is going to be like, I can't wait to get out of bed today and do everything on my to-do list. Right? And if that's not the case, then maybe this isn't for me. When reality is that there are going to be things, right, in business that we don't love to do, but we get to do.
Absolutely. That is exactly right. It's not going to be, you know, those of us who do this heart-centered or purpose-driven or whatever you want to call it, these businesses that we have that we just absolutely love what we do. There are times I got an opportunity to be on a virtual summit next. I think it starts next month. And when I first got the opportunity, I mean, talk about excited. I mean, this is a really great opportunity for me to be on this summit, to get my name out there, whatever. And so now the time is here for me to record my session. And Lachelle, I dread it every day. I dread writing it. I dread recording it. I dread sending it in. I dread everything about it. So we are going to have those moments. There's a lot of things about business that you don't like to do. I'm a coach. I'm not a marketer. I'm not an accountant. I'm not a graphic designer. I'm none of that stuff. And I don't like any of that stuff. So if you can delegate something, if you can hire a VA, if you can ask a friend to do it, by all means do that, right? Yep. Let go of as much as you can that you don't like to do, but recognize that at the end of the day, it's all part of the game, and you've got to play all of it if you want to win it.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. We could talk all day. Like, I know that. And so I better just like allow for our audience to get back to work and tell the things. So you guys, make sure that you are following, make sure that you have, you know, subscribed, leave a review, let us know not only, you know, what you took from this episode, but acknowledging that you're there and letting us, you know, thank you for that. Cause reviews help us to get noticed more and to get the word out more about this show. And I also just absolutely love it when you guys take screenshots of these episodes and post them in your stories, your social media, tag us in it. Let us just celebrate along with you that we're on this journey together, because it's so much fun knowing that you have a community of people around you that are cheering you on. And I want to make sure that we have all of the ways that you can connect with David in the show notes so that it's easy for you to reach out, to ask him questions, to follow his journey on social and all the cool things that he's up to. So make sure that you check out the show notes for all of those links. And David, one of the things that I do at the end of every episode is I ask my guests to propose a question to the audience that they can think about that is going to start to propel them into the best versions of their lives and help them get unstuck. So what question is your spirit prompting you to ask the audience to get them unstuck?
Wow. What a question, Lachelle. And what a wonderful thing to do. I would say this, that what action are you going to take as soon as Lachelle says, see you next time, as soon as this podcast is over? And I don't mean 10 minutes a day. I mean, what action is your listener going to take, Lachelle, as soon as this podcast is over, to get something going that they're passionate about and that means something to them? What is that action that you're going to take right now?
I love that. Oh my gosh, you guys, no excuses. Hashtag no excuses. Here we go. Let's get this next momentum going and see what God is capable of doing through you. David, thank you so much for joining us. You guys, thank you so much for listening. Thanks for the reviews. Thanks for the share out. Thanks for everything. And I will see you here next time for the next episode of the Unstuck Podcast. Bye, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the Unstuck Podcast. I am so grateful to be on this journey with you. And don't forget to check out the show notes if you want to get into my private club, The Better Club, to be able to learn better ways to be better, do better, and have better. So until next time, keep showing up. Let's get unstuck together. Have a great day.